Ladies and gentlemen, life for the land.
Once again, we'd like you to meet the Lyon family.
I'm Richard Lyon.
I'm Barbara Lyon.
I'm Ben Lyon.
And I'm Phoebe Daniels Lyon.
And here they are in The Poet.
Daddy?
Oh, thank you, dear. Robin, when you finish your breakfast, will you please go and get my golf bag?
I'll get your clubs, but I'm afraid you won't be able to take your bag.
Why not?
My baby mouse just had some baby mice in it.
Not again.
Oh, how sweet.
Well, you can get those baby mice out of there at once. You understand?
But the poor little things haven't even got their eyes open yet.
They're lucky. If they could see who they're living with, they'd run like mad.
You can't turn them out, Pop. After all, they were born in your golf bag. That practically makes you their father.
Richard's right. You're their father by proxy.
Proxy? What's that?
Well, that's like when a person isn't all there.
You speak for yourself. Robert, you're going to have to do something about those animals. You're going to have to do something about your insects, too. Ever since you've been here, I've had beetles in my bedroom, caterpillars in my cupboard, and ants in my
pants.
Now, it's no joking matter. I'm tired of having this place turned into a bug house.
I don't know why you hate the little things so much.
I don't hate them. I just don't want them as house guests.
More coffee, Daddy?
Thanks.
I'm in a boy in the park this morning who knows all about insects.
This is a charming subject for the breakfast table.
He said ants are just like human beings. They have their own government, their own armies, and their own police.
Yes, and ants have something no other insect has.
Well, what's that?
Baby ants.
I'd like to continue this scintillating conversation, but I'll be late for my game. Robin, please go and get my golf club.
Okay, Daddy.
Oh, Ben, you can't play today. We're expecting a very important guest for lunch.
I can't help that. I'm not breaking my golf date for anybody.
Ben, you simply have to help us entertain Hawthorne.
Yes, he's one of the greatest poets of our time.
Poets? You mean I have to cancel my golf game to meet some anemic, pale-faced pen pusher?
Daddy, how can you talk like that? He's a genius. All the critics rave about his poetry.
Oh, but I could write poetry as well as he can.
Ma, Mrs. Wainwright said he likes flowers. Do you want me to pick some in the park?
Oh, Richard. Oh, my goodness. We'll buy some at the florist.
A poet. I could have been a poet myself.
I think his favorite flowers are roses.
When I was 12, I wrote a poem about my first love.
We better get 36.
It was all about dimpled cheeks, big blue eyes, and curly hair. I called it Ode to Ben Lyon.
Ben, snap out of it. You realize for 2 years we've been trying to get Hawthorne to lecture to us, and finally we've caught him.
You make him sound like a case of measles. How much are you paying for this great privilege?
£20.
What?
Gee, if he's getting £20, I think he should give us the lunch.
Well, son, I'm glad to hear he's your pet aversion, too.
Oh, he's no pet of mine.
Honestly, Richard, how can you be so stupid?
Oh, I take after my sister.
Hey, I got clubs, Daddy. I dug all the mice out and put them in one of Richard's football boots.
Thanks, pal.
Oh, Master Robin, we're right out of dog food. Will you be a good boy and go up the road and get some?
Sure, I do.
Oh, Robert, if you want to get the dog something really nice, go to the butcher's and get an oxtail. I got her one last week and she loved it.
She did?
Yes. Ask the butcher if he'll give you another tail off the same ox.
Okay, Mom. Do you want to come with me, Richard?
I can't. I've got to repair my football.
Robin, here's a half a crown. You can keep the change.
Wait for me, Robin.
Aggie, we'll clear the table and you go on with the lunch.
Thank you.
I still can't figure out why we have to give him a free meal and £20.
Mr. Lyon, you should feel honored to have a great poet in your house for lunch.
Why? Whose is Hawthorne, anyway? It would be different if you said Shakespeare was coming here.
Well, all right. We'll have Shakespeare next week.
Oh, I just can't believe he's accepted our invitation. I wonder why he did.
He had a lot of good reasons. 20, to be exact.
Ben.
I thought poets were born, not paid.
Money means nothing to Hawthorne.
Mention that when it's time to give him his check.
Oh, Daddy, you're impossible.
Oh, come on, dear. Let's start clearing the table. It's late.
All right, Mother.
Aggie, you think we should have place cards?
I do. And we mustn't forget the finger bowls.
Oh, no. And I'll put some little flowers in them.
This certainly sounds like a very formal luncheon.
Aye, it is. I'm serving the potatoes with our jackets on. And I'm putting paper panties in the lamb chops.
Hey, Barbara, what's going on in here?
I should think that was perfectly obvious. We're setting the table for the luncheon.
I hope these table mats are good enough.
Fine thing. We have to lay out a banquet for this corny poet who writes about how his love is as pure as the melting snow and all that kind of slush.
That's not true. Oh, Daddy, that's not true. Hawthorne writes about nature and nature's children. I once read that he loves to just sit and stare at the dear dumb creatures.
Then you better see him opposite your mother.
Thank you.
Well, I don't care. Nobody ever makes this fuss when I come home for lunch. Look at all this wonderful food just for... Hey, these hors d'oeuvres are terrific.
Ben, stop eating them.
That plate of gherkins and stuffed eggs looked very nice.
Oh, the gherkins were my idea.
Well, who was responsible for the eggs?
The hens.
Cut the cackle. I mean, who's responsible for boiling them?
Oh, that was me. You see, I was looking for a recipe for boiling eggs.
A recipe?
Yes. But then Aggie told me all I had to do was give each egg 5 minutes. Well, I had 10 eggs, so I gave them 50 minutes.
Mom, you boiled them too long.
Yeah, that's what Aggie said when she saw me cracking the shells with a hammer.
Well, thank goodness you didn't touch any of the rest of the food. These olives are delicious.
Oh, Daddy, please leave them alone. There won't be any left for Hawthorne.
Yes, and Mr. Wimple said he particularly likes olives.
Likes olives what?
Stop being funny and leave the food alone. It's not nice to keep picking at it like that.
Well, it's my food.
Well, yes, Pop, but it's a shame to keep eating the best things.
Well, yes, I guess I should stop. I was wondering what this sliced salmon tastes like, that's all.
Mmm, it's delicious.
Oh,
Rich.
Oh, you're right, son. The salmon is really delicious.
Would get away from the table and let us finish setting it. Barbara, you better go in the kitchen and see if we've got enough coffee cups and saucers.
All right, Mother.
There should be about 25 cups and 25 saucers.
Oh, let's see. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. That's right, Mother. 25 cups and 24 saucers.
I don't know. Other fathers have nice, dainty daughters, but not me. Mine has to be as clumsy as an elephant.
Daddy, I object to being called an elephant.
Well, if you don't like it, you can go and pack your trunk.
Oh!
Stop trumpeting. Well, son, I guess we told her.
Oh, stop it, both of you. Barbara, don't worry about the cups and saucers. Flory said she'd lend us her Wedgwood set.
Well, where is it?
At a dentist's.
You know, you're sure making a fuss over this lunch.
Oh, Ben, I hope you'll say something nice to Hawthorne.
Of course I will. I'll say, hello, bud. What are you going to do with our 20 pounds?
Mother, the table looks beautiful.
Yes, it really does. I wonder what Hawthorne is going to recite after lunch.
Well, whatever it is, Aunt Florrie said we should pay particular attention to the meter.
Well, naturally. We don't want the gas fire to go out.
You won't go short of gas when he's talking.
Daddy, you should be ashamed to speak like that about a genius.
A genius? Look, Barbara, only one person in a million is a genius. It would be too much of a coincidence if two of us were under the same roof.
mean what I said about Hawthorne. His poetry clearly shows what type of a brain he has.
What do you mean, dear?
Well, a person with a musical brain writes poetry with rhythm. And a person with a lyrical brain writes poetry with beautiful words.
Well, how interesting. I wonder what type of poetry I'd write.
Blank verse.
That wasn't very nice.
Well, it's all so silly. Hey, this salmon is really delicious.
To listen to the poetry?
Of course you do, and you'll find it very elevating, won't he, Barbara?
Oh, yes. Hawthorne's work is a wonderful mixture of common sense and abstract thinking. He writes with his feet on the ground and his head above the clouds.
Isn't that rather a strain on his neck?
Oh, Daddy. Mother, may I invite Mary Wilkinson?
I'm sorry, dear, but we haven't room.
Well, there was enough room for Richard's English teacher.
Oh, but darling, Richard's English teacher is a personal friend of Hawthorne's. They went to school together.
Yeah. Now do you understand why my teacher's coming?
No, I don't even know why you have an English teacher. You don't speak it.
Is that so? I can speak English as well as you can. In fact, weller.
Richard. I can speak English as well as you can, in fact, weller.
Sure, Pop. You can speak it weller than any of us.
That's awful. I send you to school, try to give you a good education, and just listen to the way you murder the Queen's English.
Oh, Daddy, please leave those peanuts alone. Hawthorne will be here in 15 minutes.
15 minutes? Oh, you're right. Richard, get your coat on and meet him at the station.
Which station?
Well, here it is. It's all written down on this piece of paper. Now, hurry.
Okay, I'm on my way.
Don't shut the door, Rich. I'm coming in. Robin Lyon, just look at you. You're covered in mud.
Oh, don't worry, Mom. It's clean mud.
Oh, where have you been?
In Hyde Park with my new little friend.
Well, what's that you're carrying?
A jam jar full of water. My tadpoles are in it.
Robin, that's cruel. Take them out or they'll drown.
Phoebe.
They like water.
Daddy, put that celery down.
But I'm hungry. This celery tastes terrible.
Ben, that's funny. When I popped it into the jar just now, my tadpoles loved it.
Good.
Suddenly, I've lost my appetite.
Well, it serves you right. Now, Robin, you run upstairs and get cleaned up.
Okay. Is it all right if Joe comes over for lunch?
No, it isn't, dear. Mother says she hasn't room for any more.
Not one.
No, dear.
Mom.
Yes?
I've already asked him.
Oh, Robin.
Please. Joe and I could eat in the kitchen.
You can have lunch in the kitchen, but don't get under Aggie's feet.
Gee, thanks, Mom. I won't.
Ben, stay away from that hors d'oeuvre tray, please.
It's my food.
Well, I don't care. I spent a long time making that tray look nice. And when you keep taking things off it, you spoil the symmetry of it.
I spoil the what?
The symmetry. Haven't you ever heard of symmetry?
Yeah, and if I don't get my lunch pretty soon, that's where I'll finish up.
Honestly, sometimes I think you have a bigger appetite than Richard.
Well, I must confess, I'm very proud of this old tummy of mine.
That's obvious, dear. It sticks out a mile. Well, I'm going in the kitchen to see how the lunch is getting on.
I'll help you.
Oh, Aggie, everything smells so good.
Aye, it's coming along nicely.
Where's Robin? I thought he was in here with you.
He was, but he's gone outside to meet that wee friend he's bringing to lunch.
Hey, look out the window. He's coming through the garden with him now. Wait a minute. He's a grown man.
Aye, and isn't he handsome? He looks just like a film star.
Hello, everybody. I'd like you to meet my friend Joe.
Well, hello, Joe.
Hello.
How do you do?
Hello. It's nice to meet you all.
Oh, won't you sit down?
Thanks. My, what a lovely smell of cooking.
Want me to open the oven so you can smell it better?
Master Robin, just you leave that oven door alone.
Joe, will you excuse us a minute? I want to speak to my husband.
Well, of course.
What do you want, honey?
That man looks like a tramp to me.
Well, what if his clothes are a bit ragged? Remember the old Chinese proverb? Light of a man's soul does not shine through hole in trousers.
Oh. Please be serious. He's wearing sandals and he has a rope for a belt. He might be a kidnapper, a burglar. Why, he isn't even wearing a pair of braces.
Well, then he must be a hold-up man.
I tell you, this isn't funny. How do you know he didn't make friends with Robin just so he could come into this house and rob us all?
Oh, all right, honey. If that's the way you feel, I suppose I'd better tell him to go.
Yeah, go on, dear.
Oh, Joe.
Yes?
I'm afraid we can't invite you to lunch. You see, young man, we're having a very important guest for lunch, and I'm afraid we can't possibly squeeze in anyone else.
I quite understand. Anyway, Mr. Lyon, no matter who you're having for lunch, meeting them after meeting you could only be an anticlimax.
There'll be one more for lunch, Aggie.
Duke's thinking of his lunch in the kitchen with me. Do you live in London, Joe?
No, I'm just passing through. Last night I was in Staines.
Yes, and he walked all the way here.
Oh, Mother, I thought we could put the...
Oh, hello. Barbara, this is Joe.
Hello, Barbara. Oh, what a pretty name.
Oh, well, thank you.
Did you really walk all the way from Staines?
No, I just came in here from the dining room.
I'm talking to Joe.
Oh, gosh. Fancy walking all that way.
I like to walk. I like to feel the earth under my feet and know that I'm part of it.
Oh, beautiful.
When I walk through the country, I see important things I'd never see any other way.
Like ants?
Yes, yes, like ants and birds and little animals and all the other really important things that matter.
Joe knows the names of all the birds and all the insects.
Not quite, Robin.
Barbara, who are you setting that extra place for at the kitchen table?
Myself. I think insects are fascinating, too.
You do?
Since when?
Since always. I love all the little tiny creatures. And the birds, too.
But the other day, when I brought you one of my white mice, you jumped about...
Oh, Robin. Robin, dear, go upstairs and wash your hands.
That isn't fair. Just because I said you...
Oh, didn't... go and wash your hands, Robin. It's almost time for lunch, dear.
Oh, all right. Then I'm going to have lunch in the kitchen with Joe.
Mrs. Lyon, your guests will be here in 5 minutes.
Oh, dear, and I haven't even combed my hair.
Don't worry. It looks beautiful as it is.
Well, thank you.
I haven't combed my hair either.
Yours looks beautiful, too.
And I haven't combed my hair.
Here, borrow my comb.
Thanks.
Oh, this is silly. Come on in the dining room and I'll set a place for you.
Where did the ladies go, Ben?
Back into the kitchen. You know, women, they still have more things to put on the dining room table.
Well, I don't know where they're going to put them. I'm surprised that table doesn't collapse with all that food on it. I've never seen anything supporting such a load.
You will now.
Hello, Ben. Oh, well, aren't you going to introduce me to your handsome friend?
Down, Flory, down. Oh, Joe, this is Mrs. Flory Wainwright.
How do you do?
Oh, this is my lucky day, Mrs. Wainwright. You're the third beautiful woman I've met.
Oh, you naughty, naughty man. You're just saying that to inflate my ego.
From where I'm standing, it's already inflated.
Ben, you should be ashamed of yourself insulting a poor, defenseless widow like me.
Widow? You mean an attractive woman like you is single?
Oh, but only because I've been saving myself for the right man.
Did you have to save so much?
Oh, so you think it's funny too, do
yes,
you?
Yes, yes, I like to see two friends pulling each other's legs. Naturally, I know Ben couldn't possibly mean the things he said about you. You're too attractive a woman.
Oh, now, come, young fellow. When a man pays a woman the compliments you've paid me, he usually has the wrong ideas.
Oh, but I assure you I haven't any wrong ideas.
Oh, come now, you're not trying.
What a sense of humor you have.
Oh, thank you. It's nice to be paid so many compliments. Ben always tells me I look horrible.
Oh, that's not true, Flory. I never say you look horrible.
Well, you never say I look pretty either.
That's because you're sort of in between. Pretty horrible.
Hey, Pop, I waited at the station for half an hour and he didn't turn up.
Good.
Oh, dear. Phoebe's going to be so disappointed.
What's wrong?
Well, we seem to be short of a celebrity. My wife engaged some crackpot poet to give a lecture.
Oh, but Hawthorne's not a crackpot.
What's the difference? The silly fathead isn't here, thank heavens.
Ben?
Yes?
I'm Hawthorne.
You? Joe?
Yes, Joe Hawthorne.
Pop, your mouth's open.
Well, shut my mouth.
This has been
been such a wonderful surprise.
Oh, if so, when Mrs. Wainwright comes down, will you give us a poem?
Oh, I'm afraid that would bore your father.
Of course it won't. You know, I didn't really mean what I said. I like poetry.
That isn't what you said this morning.
Richard, you've got some soot on your face. Go up and wash it.
I don't see any soot.
Well, take my word for it, son. Now, go up and wash.
Okay, Pop. I washed it, Pop.
Well, what kept you?
I had to wait for the water to get hot.
Well, you've got a tide mark on your chin, so you can just go back and wash it again.
Okay, okay.
Oh, that's quite a boy.
Joe, look what I found by the pond in the garden. A big frog.
Oh, Robin, take that thing outside.
But I just went outside and got it. Oh, it jumped out of my hands.
Robin, did you know that this was Hawthorne, the great poet?
Who? Joe?
That's right.
Well, what do you know, Joe?
Robin, come out from under that table.
Excuse me, Daddy, but I'm looking for my frog.
Well, stop worrying about that fat little creature with the Popeyes.
Mother, that's no way to talk about Daddy.
Thanks. There he goes. He hopped out through the window.
Who, Daddy?
Oh, no, the frog.
Oh, help me catch him, Joe. Oh, please help me catch him.
Don't worry. If I can't catch him, I'll find you another one. Come on.
Okay.
Oh, don't be long, you two. The club members will be here any minute.
We'll be right back. Oh, what we need around here is a nice padded cell. Come in. Hello.
Oh, hello, Mr. Wimple.
Oh, Mrs. Ailey, I can't tell you how we're looking forward to this luncheon. Ever since I knew about our guest of honor, I've taken to writing poetry myself. Would you care to hear one of my endeavors?
Oh, we'd love to, Mrs. Wimple.
It's a domestic piece. I call it Ode to Crockery. When I wash the teacups, the teapot and the jug, my husband looks at me and says...
Blimey, what a mug.
Horace, you spoiled it.
Perhaps so. But that's still no excuse for dragging me out here to hear this man reading a lot of rubbish.
Well, I found Robin's frog.
Oh, Wimple, I'd like you to meet Joe.
She knows I've got a lot of work to do. And she makes me come here to listen to some half-baked poet.
Mr. Wimple.
I mean it. Ask your friend here. What's your name again, chum?
Joe.
Well, I ask you, Joe. This geezer writes a couple of sloppy poems, and everybody's supposed to keel over and drop dead.
Wimple, this is Joe Hawthorne, the poet.
I said, oh, pardon me while I keel over and drop dead.
Did you say this is Joe Hawthorne?
That's right.
Mrs. L, could I see you privately a moment? It's very urgent.
Well, of course, dear. Let's go in the kitchen.
What's eating your wife, Wimple?
I don't know, probably what I just said to Joe.
Oh, hi, Pop.
Richard, I thought I told you to wash your ears.
I did wash them. It's just that they dry a funny color.
Oh, Ben, Mr. Wimple, can you come in the kitchen a minute? It's very important.
All right, all right. We'll be back in a minute, Joe.
Mrs. Wimple, are you positive he isn't Joe Hawthorne?
Of course I am. I went to a lecture in Manchester with my sister Alice, and she pointed the real Hawthorne out to me.
Well, that's nothing. Your sister Alice is so cockeyed, you can never tell who she's looking at.
That's not true. There's nothing wrong with her eyes.
Oh, no? Then why is it when she cries, the tears run down her back?
I refuse to start any stupid arguments. We must get that fraud out of the house.
I can't believe he's a crook.
Neither can I.
I can't think why you're all standing up to the man. People who take money under false pretenses can go to jail for 5 years.
Well, in that case, the woman who gives you those beauty treatments should be locked up for life.
Oh, very well. If you want to make a joke out of it and let this man make a fool of you all, that's your affair. But don't forget that £20 is out of our club fund.
She's right. If that man isn't a real Hawthorne, you'll just have to ask him to go.
What, again?
Yes.
Oh, all right. Come on, Wimpy. Let's go out and talk to him.
Don't waste time talking. Get the police.
Wilhelmina, my love. I think I'll take you to the yard.
To get a policeman?
No, to shove your head in a dustbin. Come along, Mr. Hill.
I'm coming.
There he is, sitting between Barbara and Mrs. W.
Now, remember what B.B. said. We must be very tactful.
Oh, don't worry. I can be very subtle.
Then let's call him over and you talk to him. Oh, Joe.
Yes, Ben?
Can we see you a minute?
Oh, of course. You look upset. Is anything wrong?
Well,
Leave this to me, Mr. Hill. Now, look, Joe, if a man accepted £20 to give a lecture...
Yes.
Well, if this man wasn't really a lecturer, then he might get into a lot of trouble.
In other words, you think I'm not a lecturer, is that it?
Well, are you?
Since you put it that way, no. Oh, I guess I had a lot of nerve, didn't I?
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
I would.
Wimple.
Oh, Joe, come on out and see his squirrel.
All right, Robin. Excuse me, Ben. I'll see you at lunch.
Well, how do you like that?
Mr. L., have you told that imposter to leave yet?
I can't. He's out in the garden playing with Robin, and I don't want to tell him in front of the boy.
Here he comes now.
I say, Ben, that Robin's a fine lad.
Yes, he certainly is.
Young man, I want you to listen to me. The game is up. So would you please leave this house immediately?
But why? I've already told Mr. Lyon I'm not going to give a lecture.
Never mind about the lecture. We know you're a fraud.
Say, Mr. Hawthorne, my English teacher has just arrived. Remember, he's the one who said he used to go to school with you.
You better fly, Joe.
Now, you'll see I was telling the truth.
Hello, Lyon. Nice to see you again. Hi, Joe. Gassy. Old Gassy Maxwell. Well, well.
Well, it's great to see you again, you old son of a gun.
Just a minute, Mr. Maxwell. You know this man?
Know him? We went to school together. The boys used to tease Hawthorne about his poetry. I always knew he'd make a name for himself.
Then he really is Joe Hawthorne?
Who do you think he was, Joe Davis?
Mrs. Wimple said that he was...
I'm sorry, dear.
You and your cockeyed sister.
Goodbye, all.
Where are you going, Mrs. Wimple?
Into the back garden to drop dead.
Now, come, my love. I'm sure nobody would want you to drop dead in the back garden.
Wouldn't they?
Of course not. Go and drop dead in the front garden.
Aggie says lunch is ready.
Good. Joe, where would you like to give your lecture? In the dining room or in the living room?
Neither, Mrs. Lyon. You see, your husband has just convinced me that I shouldn't give any more lectures.
What?
Yes, every time I give one, I'm really taking money under false pretenses, as he so rightly said.
What nitwit said that?
Mr. Lyon.
What? Oh, Phoebe, this is terrible. 30 women coming to the house and no lecture. Ben, this is all your fault.
It is not. Can't you understand? He took what I told him the wrong way.
Well, see if you can take this the wrong way.
Flory, put that down.
Flory, you mustn't hit my husband with an umbrella.
Mustn't I?
No, take this frying pan.
Now, just a minute, lady. You've got Mr. L. all wrong. I was with him when he spoke to Hawthorne.
Then it's your fault. You should have stopped him.
Quite right. Phoebe, make that 2 frying pans.
Was Life with the Lyons, with B.B. Daniels and Ben Lyon, and their children Barbara and Richard. Also in this recording were Horace Percival, Molly Weir, Doris Rogers, Hugh Morton, Richard Belair, Louis Stringer, and Gwen Lewis. The script was by Bob Block, Ronnie Hambury, and B.B. Daniels. The BBC Variety Orchestra was conducted by Paul Fennelly. Production by Tom Ronald.